There has to be some who hold out for nothing but headship of the Lord, and who will so send all the attacks of the enemy. We have the ground, the land, the place, the position, and the practice. We will not give into you, foreigner, who has come into God's city and set yourself a through. You alien, whether it be the alienness of man trying to rule God's kingdom or the satanic rule of angel ruling the city, we shall not be ruled by man. Now, this we have a picture of in the gospel. And it's so beautifully unfolded. Martha received him. Brothers, God wants the place. Jesus Christ in place. We just receive. I don't know if I can express the simplicity of that.
When Jesus Christ comes in and sits down, he is received as Lord. And there's no question who's Lord, who's head, who's king. He's received. Martha opened her hold and just said, Lord, come here. And he came in and he sat down, and this was his place. That is a picture of the church receiving Christ. Christ received. Well, now, a little bit of the story. The Lord Jesus came in, and there's Martha and there's Mary. And this passage is very graphic in presenting Mary. It said that she sat down at Jesus' feet and just persisted there. Well, in Jerusalem, how was the church built? The disciples just sat down and said, all right, well, we will see. How did Corinth begin? There were many people in that city. How did Thessalonica begin? Because a woman said, we receive thee. She just sat down at the feet of the Lord Jesus and persisted in receiving. There is this attitude of the church that Jesus Christ is in our midst, and we are just going to receive. We are going to sit down under his seat, at his seat, under him, if we shall receive from the world. And she persisted. Praise the Lord for Sister Martha. No, sir, don't you disdain Sister Martha. She was as much a part of that receiving as was Mary. She opened her doors and received him in. But in the beginning, she was a little bit confused about what service was. And we've all been confused. We've all been confused. Well, you know, here in our midst is Jesus Christ. And the Son of God. Who has ever had him in his home before? There's got to be a meal worthy of him. And suddenly this is all that Martha can think about, doing the proper thing toward preparing something to the Lord and serving him. And she begins to worship, and Mary is with her, and then Mary runs out to listen wild. Martha comes. Mary comes in, but she's got one ear. She comes back, and in a minute she's gone. Martha finally gets very frustrated and comes out very choosingly and says, not to Mary, but to the Lord. Can you get inside of Martha? The frustration. I am doing the Lord's work, and nobody else cares. The Lord doesn't even care. The Lord hasn't noticed the neglect on me.
Then Mary hasn't cared a bit, and she's frustrated. And she comes in and she says, Lord, are you going to let Mary just sit there and listen to you? She persists in listening to you. Will you not have her come help me?
And you know what the Lord said. He said, Martha, your commitment's in the wrong place. You are tied up with the wrong thing.
It's not what you're doing, Martha. It's your commitment is to it.
Mary had chosen the better thing. After all, what was it that Martha was doing?
She was fixing a meal, and Mary was learning under the Lord Jesus. Brethren, be very careful. Be very careful. The Lord did not tell Martha to stop serving. He said, move the commitments.
It was almost as if to say, either come in and join us or do something very simple that will not get you complicated. And we'll eat later. There'll be something provided. But this is the main thing. The main thing is to not be distracted into something else, but that there might be a people who sit under the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's the first one. That's the first one. This is the lesson, the first lesson the church so frequently learned. If, brethren, we do not get frustrated and utterly committed to our servant, but to sitting under the Lord Jesus Christ. All right. This next passage, Matthew 21, I would like to go back to the game. Jesus Christ has been in a city. It is Jerusalem. And during the day, he has seen the money changers. During the day, he has seen the sin of that city. And he has walked out of it and gone with a heavy heart to Bethany. He spends the night in Bethany. He is not welcome in Jerusalem.
But there is a place where he is received. Then, in the next morning, very disillusioned, Jerusalem will not hear, and Jerusalem will not receive. He walks by a fig tree, and there is a tree full of leaves and no fig, and Christ looks at it, and it says, you no longer feed me. Let you be cursed forever. You shall never again bear fruit. What is that tree?
That tree is Judaism. Judaism is pictured as a fig tree. And here is a fig tree that will no longer feed its Lord and no longer bears fruit. Then, brethren, that night, the Lord Jesus Christ comes back to Bethany, and he fellowshiped there, and he dines there, and he is received there, and he rests there, and he fed there. Do you know what Bethany means? Do you know what it means? What does the word Bethany mean? Bethlehem is the house of bread. Bethany is the house of the feast.
The church is a house of faith to the Lord. It is a place where he can come in and sit down, where he is received, and where he can eat, and where he can rear,
and the Lord has cursed all that. It cannot feed him. The Lord wants a place where he can come in and be fed, where he can rest, and where he can be refilled.
He put scripture in the way, I stand at the door now. Lord.
I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me.
This is a similar picture that the Lord wants a people. It's not to the church, but to a people where he can come in and sup with them and lay with him. I believe this is addressed to the overcomers, is it not? Am I mistaken? It is addressed to the overcomer that he won't declare where he can come in and rest and be fed. Okay, let us turn now to Matthew 26:6 again. A little principle, but an important one. This is not Mary. As far as I can tell, this is not Mary. This is someone else. Maybe Mary got her idea from this one. I don't think it's Mary. I may be wrong. Jesus come into Bethany, and someone takes an oil, an alabaster. Maybe this is Mary. I don't want to say. I want to make an application. Maybe it is Mary. She takes an alabaster box of ointments and pours it on the Lord's head. The room is filled with the smell of it. And they say, why this way? Why this way? Were they saying, why this way? They weren't saying, why this way, as much as they were saying, brother, when you say, why this way, do you realize what you're really saying? You're saying, Lord, you're not worth it. Now you think about it. That was spilled out and poured on the Lord Jesus, and it was there, there, pure. Why this way? Well, 2,000 years later, if we look back, if we had the privilege of being in the home of where the Lord Jesus lived, you know, it would be no waste at all to pour something upon his head. But brothers, they said, why the way? Christ is not worthy of something so precious. Now, this is subjective, I realize. But nonetheless, I am saying to you, brethren, when the head is not honored, someone can say, he is not worth, or he is not trustable to the. It's not worthy of it. It should not be. I don't know if you understand what I mean, but brothers, I have watched with my own eyes and the century of the year that had gone century after century, where Jesus Christ's ultimate, final, if not complete. I don't know if you know what I mean. I mean that he is in some part received. I mean he is in some way received. But he is not totally received. Because it costs so much. Unfortunately, I have seen this with my own eye. It costs so much to anoint the head of Christ. I have watched this. We have cried and we have
try and we can't make it. I can almost hear the voice of the children of Israel in the wilderness. Take the cloud and the smoke and the fire from us and give us something that will keep moving. Something we can see and hear and talk to and that will show us the way. Give us a man. It takes full nut cost to anoint the head of Christ, that his the oil might fall forth upon his body and down be. Ever along the way, so many and sad, it's what will.
Well, I don't want to draw any court parallels, examples, because there are not any, but I can give a poor example. This never got started right, but let me show you nonetheless where it ended. You know, the Quakers were raped up. They got so clear and so crystal clear and certain that things were wrong in the organized world of religion. They left it, and they would not go to the meeting. They would not do anything. And Fox really saw something. He made a real contribution to restoring the city of the Lord. He said there is a light inside all of them. You've heard how the Quakers met, and here's where the poverty long. He said, drop all farm, doll, every friend. Come in and sit down and don't move until you get a lot. Well, he didn't see so much. They just sat there. And once in a while, someone would get up and somebody would breakfast. And for a long time, there was a great power of the Quakers. Well, they got started on the wrong foot. They could not have possibly fully recovered this matter. They got started wrong. But I want you to see where they are today. Where are they? Brother, a customer to anoint the Lord King. Have you ever been in their meeting? I have not, but I have a dear friend who left it to come and take a stand with the Lord for the church. And he was a pastor, a T-A-S-T-O-R, of one of their churches. And I asked him about this, and he said, we have church building, and we have pews, and we have a pulpit. And when you walk in, most of our churches, or many of them, have a bulletin with an order of worship. You come in and you sit down, and there's a man who drew up the order of worship. And you sit there, and a meeting or singing, and then he gets up and preaches. Jeff, it costs too much. The Lord is not word bearer. To anoint his head, to have him as everything. Only the Lord Jesus Christ knew that that woman had properly received him. Do you think it's easy to restore this matter?
Well, let's look at what has happened up till now. Has it been restored?
Well, it will cost.
It will cost you to pour the precious oil upon the Lord's head. It will cost everything. Hallelujah. Praise God. It has been said for too long, he is not worth the effort. Somewhere, someday, a group of people have got to sit down and say, Lord, we are going to meet together, and we are going to stand for your rule on this earth. And you are still among us in spirit, and you will rule us by your head. Right now, right here. Let's go. John 11. What is Bethany It's a place where Jesus Christ is received.
What does God want?
He wants some Bethanies all over this earth.
What is Bethany?
It is a place where Jesus Christ can come in and eat and rest and be fed.
What is Bethany?
It's a place where he's worth everything.
Where his head is anointed with oil and he is worth everything.
What is Bethany?
It is a place of death and resurrection.
It was here that Mary anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair. His brother Lazarus was sick. I'm looking for a verse here. Can someone find it? He says to the disciples, "Let us go." Verse 16. Thank you, sister. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." I think that I am speaking of another, where Jesus is speaking and said, "We, let us go." Well, I know it's in here. I don't see it. Verse 1? Verse 15. "And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto them." Well, that's a small thing, but nonetheless, it was not the Lord Jesus alone who was received there, but there was the fellowship of all the brethren. Here is a place where the Lord Jesus Christ and the disciples had fellowship one with another. It was a place of love. It was a place of fellowship. And now, brethren, it is a place of death. Here is a picture of the church, the people receiving the Lord. Here is an assembly. Here is some within a little village standing for the Lord, and death has come. Now that is a very sad hour. When death comes to a group of the Lord's people, and it is a sad hour. And it is a heartbreaking hour. And it is a heartrending hour. And it's a lonely hour when the church experiences death. Am I right? I believe some of you brothers and sisters are beginning to know a little bit about the Lord's dealing in death. And the first thing that happens when it comes is you start looking for everybody under creation to blame except the Lord.
Why do this to me? This isn't fair.
You're called to that. You started that.
We cannot see the Lord. Or maybe we really see the Lord. Wait a minute. Maybe our eyes are open, and all we can see is death. How will we ever get out of this?
How will we ever come out?
Praise God for the death. The hour will come when men shall see that when the church goes through death, it's its greatest hour. Throughout the centuries, the church has been beat and battered and stalked and thrust down. And brothers, it has always fallen out for the glory of the Lord, for out of it has sprung something far better. They looked at the Lord Jesus Christ and they said, "Oh, he's dead." "You mean he's dead?" And Jesus said, "Never mind. This death is for the Lord's glory. This death is for the Lord's glory." Brothers, I speak to you, Frank. I have not sinned, with a possible exception,
of a group of brothers and sisters almost identical to you in another nation, meeting almost under the same circumstances as you,
who had so known and so been a receiving place to the Lord for his headship and lordship and kingship. Praise God for that. I stand with Brother Paul. I say that to you for your encouragement. Nonetheless, brothers, I would say that the church must go into debt.
It must go into debt. I think you were more or less ready for this.
Well, don't sit there like that. I think that you have seen, brothers, the problems that come out of receiving the Lord fully and not knowing what to do. Brothers, it has all been so proper and so correct, and I believe so under the hand of God. I would say to you now, brothers, let us fully taste the death. Let us take it fully. Just take it. I would even go so far as to say, brothers, I believe the Lord is going to give us resurrection. In this, I would say to you now, in the latter part of this chapter, Paul said, in the first part, he said, I stand with you. You have received the precepts. The latter part of the chapter says, there are some things I cannot abide. And I know that when that letter was finished, Corinth was dead. Well, you read it. You try to figure out what they could have done. Well, they couldn't have the Lord's Supper anymore, not the way they had been. Why? Have you not read that far? Some brother got drunk and passed out. Well, could they keep on speaking in tongues the way they did? That was all gone. All right, brothers, let everything the Lord has done among you from this day past go into death. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to bear the next few days anyway if you don't. Let it all die. It has had its place, and it has had great lessons. And I want to say right now that there are some things that will be resurrected that God has already given you that are just so precious. But there are other things that are going to stay in that grave forever, brethren. I would like to suggest to the church in Galatia, to the brothers and sisters who have stood for the church in Galatia, that for the next few meetings, and I think we'll all know when, let us come in and sing and nothing else. Rock over. Yeah, do a lot of singing. You can sing, brother. If you really have got to pray, get up and pray. If you really have a testimony, you have got to get rid of it, get up and get it. But unless there is that drill churning unction, and you are so clear that you can get up and blow us, clear sound, it's got a clear beginning, a clear middle, and a clear end. Let us let it all die. Let everything you know and have said and seen and done go, so that we can walk into the rest of this book with absolute newness, like little children. Brothers, out of death, much death, much suffering, much sorrow, comes much resurrection. You will see, not only now, but for the rest of your life, that darkest hour of death that you cannot abide is the Lord's precious work of bringing you into a whole new experience of
Okay. Next, chapter 12.
This is Bethany. Yes, brother.
Some have it scooter. They like in the median.
You know, I heard something real profound once, and it was said to me. He said, the only stupid question is the question you don't ask. And I've always appreciated that. Any other question's not stupid. Go ahead, brother.
Well, like during the meetings, I get both being saying praise the Lord and amen. But at that, to see.
Drop everything, bro. Literally, ever. Well, if you don't drop it, it shall be taken away from you. So, you must.
Okay.
Some something new's already come out.
Chapter 12, brothers, two more pictures. In chapter 12 is perhaps the same story recorded in Luke, but much fuller, or it's a different story. I frankly don't know, and truly it doesn't matter. But here now is Mary breaking the jar, and the attention is given to the jar. This time, it is the jar that is being broken that is moaned. Oh, that you would take such a lovely jar and break it and pour it on the Lord's feet and wipe his feet with your hair. Oh, that that could have been kept in that beautiful jar and taken out and sold to the poor. Have you ever wished to save a sister or a brother from suffering? Oh, I do not, brothers, do not misunderstand. I do not mean that we go around trying to get a brother in a position where he suffered. Or, brother, I'm going to tell you off. You need a little of the cross. No, I mean when God circumstantially brings someone to the cross, do you try to save the alabaster dish? You take it, brothers, from the Lord's hand, my dear. Oh, brothers, I do not mean to comfort. That's one thing. Oh, to stand, to pray, to love. That's one thing. But oh, to try to go and save the brother from it, or to guide him in it. You know, to go. We can get so busy going around. Oh, this brother's now bearing a cross. Brother, I've come over. I realize you've been having troubles lately. Could we have some scripture together and let's talk? Or, you know, sort of, well, brother, here I am, and I'm the one to come see when you got problems, you know. And you'll be busy going around helping brothers. Saving them from the alabaster dish, the broken dish. Your body will just be going here and there. Oh, did you hear? Mary is having a problem. Let's go see Mary. Comfort Mary. Oh, Mary, don't listen to this. This is, you know, if you'll do such and such, you won't even have to bear this cross. Your body will just be shooting here and here. You'll be so busy. Until finally, brothers, sisters, you'll be a busybody. Would you save the alabaster dish? Quack, save the alabaster dish. Let it be broken. Let it crush. Let it break. It will look like in that moment when it crushes. And all that precious ointment that should have been preserved is kept. And then the clay there mingles in with the oil, and it looks so improper for a moment, and all of that just crushed out.
wasted. A dish that could have been preserved.
Brothers, wait just a little while.
And you will smell an aroma that will fill the house of God. And you will see an anointment of the Lord Jesus Christ that will enrich his church.
That's what he said. That which Mary did, the breaking of the precious dish, the oil was poured out on the Lord, the room was filled, and for 2,000 years, the breaking,
the crushing, has been a testament and a blessing to the assemblies of God, wherever the Lord's gospel has been preached. Well, go, brothers, and stand before that empty cross. You know what happens when the Lord puts the cross up in front of you.
The first thing you do is you don't look up to see him. You never give any consideration that maybe that is the way.
You immediately put it in the high gear. You have not yet seen it. You are assuming that it is there, but you have not seen it.
The first thing you do is you get out your road map. Let's see now. Where is a good place from here? Don't anybody tell me I was headed that direction.
Yes, there's a good road. I'll take that route.
Without looking up, we try to go this way. Or we try to go this way. And you know, suddenly the way we go won't work too well. And we come back this way, and that doesn't work either. And the Lord keeps forcing us back. You remember the story of Balaam's donkey? The donkey finally said, "I've never been this way, but I've never been hard before to get along with." Obviously, you're headed in the wrong direction. You won't look up, brothers. You won't see the obvious cross. So you begin reasoning, logicking. And no place you turn, you constantly realize you have to come back. Or brothers, you realize when you top a hill and go down the valley, if you don't look up, God moved the cross right in the middle of your new road. So, you have to back up and you start down another road. And if you're not careful, brother, you'll see it again. Until finally you get so worn out. You look up, brothers, you're going to find out you're right back either in the same place or at least, for all practical purposes, the same kind of a mess. And there you are in front of the same cross that the Lord has been wanting to deal with in you all of the time. And brothers, there's nothing to do but look up at an empty cross and say, "Lord, that's where I belong." To go to it and through it. Brothers, I'm a little fearful to ever even mention this among your hearts are so ready for the Lord. I am so afraid you're going to go out and start looking for a cross. I've corrected myself so much. Brothers, when you go out looking for a cross, paint a cross. It's when you go like this. Oh, that's a cross. Can you see the difference? To not go looking for a cross. If God has given you joy, stay in your joy. The Lord has lifted the load, walk that way. But when you feel circumstances closing in or about you, and you've got 2,000 roads to pick, and 50 brothers and sisters to throw chunks of rock at because of some mess they've gotten you into, or your boss, or the world, or your school, or your friends, or me, or someone else.
Then, brother,
There's a cross now. And you will have to live for it. It's right there. Standing in front of you. Oh, then let the body be broken. Let the assembly be broken. Let the individual be broken. Under the sovereign hand of the Lord, out of it will pour forth precious ointment. Well, there's a final passage about Bethany. Bethany is a picture of the Lord's church.